Hi, it's Jen and Daniel. Welcome to Sobriety Uncensored, episode 14.
What?
14. I have something really exciting to share.
Okay.
I just ate a Tums.
Okay.
And it's the same Tums container that I've had for, I don't know how long. Do you know how often I used to eat Tums? It was like on my grocery list, like every fucking week. Seriously, it's a new revelation. I cannot believe it. I had to check the date. It's like, oh
is
my
this,
God.
Is this expired?
I know. It's like, I haven't had Tums in so long. Oh, hey, old friend. Oh. Hey, old chum. How's it going?
Isn't that, yes, that is funny. Like when the medication, like, oh, I don't need that. I guess I don't need the Costco Excedrin anymore. Right, I could just get the travel one just in case, you know?
I mean, I'm honestly a little flabbergasted. I'm so excited.
That is, Tums. That's good. Tums. Yeah,
it was always on the bedside table. Mm-hmm. Tums, Gatorade, and a little Tylenol.
Yeah. Like
especially this time of year,
the drunk routine. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we're close to mid-January already, 2023. Yeah.
I know. I can't believe I started, and if you've been around long enough, you'll understand this. So I'm sorry that it is redundant, but a dry January in 2015. After a little auditory hallucination at Norm's Diner, you can go back and peep Norm's. That episode. Yeah. The clinking, sweaty the clanking, eggs. The sweaty, the steam, all of it. And just committed with my doctor, myself, my therapist, my wife to take 1 month off to let medicine kick in, to calm the fuck down.
Mm-hmm.
And also drunk Tanner was like, I'm going to prove you people wrong.
Right.
You know, I'm coming back full steam, bitch.
February 1st.
Yeah. One man, one bottle, one mission. Daniel is drunk Daniel.
Now wait, let me ask you this. Were you planning on a dry January, or you just had a come to Jesus moment at Norm's and you were like, oh, well, it happens to be January 1st, so I'll just do dry January.
No, yeah, it was just happened to be. Mm. And actually the irony is that my wife was like, what? Because so many times when I should have taken a break, I didn't.
Right.
You know, when it made total sense for me to take a break, I was like back at it, you know?
Yeah.
No, I took, and we're talking about this again, but it's dry January, so fuck it. I took a huge calendar from my desk at my principal desk. I taped it to my kitchen, and every day I marked with blue Sharpie, I marked the X, and I was going to do 1 month. And Caroline was just like, what? Not in a bad way, but she had seen me go back and forth so many times, right? Like,
right.
But I couldn't really wiggle my way out of it, having gone to the doctor and hearing the voices, you know, those small details. So, but
auditory hallucinations are kind of your go-to, like, okay, it's time.
Yeah, it's time. That's it's my rock. Time. My rock bottom wasn't your even rock a rock. Bottom. It was a voice.
No.
Yeah. See? It was a fucking hit in the face with a rock. Ah! But once it was interesting because I set a reasonable goal, which I felt felt impossible, but it also felt attainable. I'm very real stubborn, very goal driven. So by putting it up there and kind of operating almost out of spite.
Right.
And that's not healthy, but it was my reality. So I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Like, these people don't know. I can prove to myself I can take a month off. I can prove that I can fix it, blah, blah, blah. But once I set that 31-day goal, it took the pressure of the daily negotiation off the table.
Mm.
Not all the way off the table. Like I would still ruminate. I fucking downloaded SimCity, if you remember that game. I was playing like fucking like little anime games, like a child. And I would just like do whatever it took to like get through. Took my two walks a day, ate my ice cream, I had like my little routine I could barely get through. But the calendar and setting that manageable goal, which felt manageable to me because it was twice as long as I had ever gone before. It took the pressure off. And then once I started getting to the end of January, no one was asking me meaning in the house. And I hadn't told anybody in our friend group that I wasn't drinking. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't told my family. I hadn't told anyone except for my wife. And I was just going back and forth in my head, like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And it was funny, the battle that occurred. And I was like, I'm not ready to go back yet. I'm not ready to go back to drinking. I was afraid. I was afraid of how good it would taste. I was afraid of how drunk I would get. I was afraid of the hangover I knew. It was like, I'd finally broken up with them. Like, I didn't want to see them. Can we still be friends?
Right.
Let's still be friends. And they're like, fuck you.
Yeah.
So I just couldn't do it. So then February is just like a fucking joke of a month, 28 days. Like, are you even a month?
In February.
Yeah. Like, fuck it. So I was like, I'll just tack on February.
Mm-hmm.
But dry January has become such a thing, right? Like, dry January. And
it's a big thing. There's dry lots of things.
Yeah, there's dry lots of things.
Dry July. There's all these kitschy little challenges.
I run one right now called a December to Remember.
You're like,
what the fuck is that? Like, a December to Remember. No Booze
sounds
November.
Sounds like a Hallmark movie.
It sounds like a car commercial. It's probably where I lifted it. What's frustrating is in January, all of my friends that don't have a drinking problem, I totally get you now. Mm. Like, they feel like they understand, right? Because they're not drinking for the whole month. On the weekend, no brunches.
For four whole weekends?
For four weekends. And like, I just remember this last January, like, oh yeah, my husband and I were doing it. We couldn't make it. We made it 27 days though. I don't know
how you do it.
I don't know how you do it.
You deserve a lot of credit.
Yeah. Like, you deserve it. They couldn't do it.
How do you do it?
Well, which is so funny when people slide into the comments, they're like, you should just moderate, just have willpower.
I know. I had one recently, like, alcoholism is just weakness. I recently had someone comment that, and like, I just give them a swipe. Yeah.
You're just like, motherfucker, like, you know how much self-control it takes to not drink.
And you are minimizing minimizing addiction by saying that.
Right. like it's not
you're
real.
You're minimizing the entire concept of addiction to anything.
Right.
By saying, it's just a sign of weakness. Like, okay, Biff.
Yeah, okay. Go run a lap.
Go do your mixed martial arts, you douche.
Yeah, like, I was peaking in high school, Biff. Jesus.
So I did a dry January once. I did not get sober in January. Yeah. Spoiler alert. I got sober in August, but I did a dry January, and I don't even remember what year it was. It was pre-COVID, because I remember being at the gym on a stationary bike.
Stationary bike.
Such a clear memory. I was at the YMCA on a stationary bike, and I downloaded a audio book.
Oh, shit.
Called The Alcohol Experiment. I think that's what it's called.
Okay.
And I think I have very little recollection of this, because I was so fucking bitter and angry over the fact that I was even attempting dry January.
Okay.
I was not ready to live a life of sobriety. I was not ready. This was just a personal challenge that I was really using as an alcoholic to prove to myself that I wasn't.
Yep.
And I succeeded in proving to myself that I, quote unquote, didn't have a drinking problem, because I was able to do dry January.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like it has, I think it's a beautiful thing, no matter what. If you want to skip the booze for the month of January, alcoholic or not, I think that's a beautiful thing. I'm not minimizing what people do as like a kickstart, you know, to their new year. Some people are big believers in like resolutions.
Resolutions.
Yeah, I was going to say revolution. New Year's revolution.
New Year's revolution. Let's fucking let's fuck shit up.
Fucking mock pit and shit. It's a revolution. what's that called? Death metal. New Year's revolution.
Oh my God.
Anyway, if you're someone that believes in New Year's resolutions and giving up booze is one of them, I think that's great. And if you just do it for a month and you're not someone with a problem, I mean, I'm not passing judgment on anyone, don't get me wrong. But I do think that now that this has become a thing,
it
does allow people to give themselves a pass on.
Yeah, it takes a pressure. It takes the pressure off of they can, it's a good decoy, right? Because you can be like, I'm just doing a dry January, because a lot of people do. Mm-hmm. And for, I would say, a healthy population of those doing a dry January, they're probably having a big internal conversation with themselves. Mm-hmm. But it's nice because you don't have to explain yourself because it's a dry January. It makes sense, right? It's not a dry March. Everyone's like, what?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm just taking a dry March. They're that's not a thing.
Not a thing. I've never heard of that.
Wouldn't it be nice though, to have a January where you could set a different goal other than not drinking? You know, I almost feel like every year I'd be like, okay, this is the year I'm going to get it in check or whatever. Or maybe I didn't. The last 4 years, I always call it landing the plane. The last 4 years was the big battle. Previous to that, I could give a shit. I was like, I'm going down. This is the Titanic and I'm the fucking band. I'm just going to drink and just who cares if I go early? But the last 4 years, I would set these intentions and I would, you know, the alcoholic in me would be like, well, I could take 2 weeks off, so I'm not an alcoholic. But then I would get just fucking hammered and have sad clown and these 3 day hangovers and anxiety attacks. Right. So for me, every time I would try to renegotiate, like, oh, well, if I take 2 weeks off, I'm not, or if I'm, you know, similar to how I started dry January when I was at Norm's and then I took the month off. That is when I had a shift. That's when I experienced the shift. And the shift was for me that it was okay for me to keep going just to see what it was like. Because
I'm kind of amazed that that's how it went down for you though, honestly.
Same.
Like, I'm kind of amazed that you were like, let me see how one more month, you know, February's bullshit. Let's just see how this goes. Like that for someone as deep into alcoholism as you were, at what I've learned about, don't let me speak for you, but, I mean, you would expect anyone under your circumstances to be like, February 1, it's on. Like the fact that you just were like, I'll see if I could do February 2.
Well, it wasn't like it's over eight years, but it wasn't as casual as like, but it was the thought.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't mean to minimize it.
No, but the thought of drinking again made me like pre-panic. I would like almost induce the anxiety attacks that I would have when I was hungover.
Right.
In my brain, again, this is probably all deeply psychological, and maybe we can get some fucking person on here to explain it, but it's not me. But you have to think that hallucinations paired with the anxiety somehow affected my brain. And I hadn't even gone out big on New Year's Eve. Like I told you, I just like drank some wine at PF Chang's. Like, what the fuck? I was on this I'm trying to quit, but not really. I'm trying to prove I can moderate, but not really. I had a young daughter, more responsibilities. So I was very much like 3 to 5 to 7 days on, like no drinking, and then get real drunk. And I would just like go through this cycle. I was landing the plane. So I was just so worn out from that battle. I didn't win. I stopped fighting. I'm just like, I can't fucking moderate.
Yeah.
And I also felt like I owed it to myself to see what it was like to be an adult, father, husband, employee, without all of these other fucking things pulling at me. And I had a big victim mentality. Like, I deserve to drink because I've had trauma. I deserve to drink because I was bullied. I deserve to drink because X, Y, and Z, right? Mm-hmm. Those were all contributing factors. But at the same time, I had to give myself tough love and be like, no, like you, yes, you, that you can get away with this probably for the rest of your life.
Right.
But what is the rest of your life going to look like?
Yeah.
And maybe that was just like a quarter life crisis or midlife crisis or some sort of crisis. Instead of buying a fucking Maserati, I just gave up vodka.
I think you made the right choice.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, I was on the stationary bike, yeah, listening to my audio book.
Stationary
fucking bike. Miserable. Like, I literally was listening. I remember feeling so angry that I was even forcing myself to listen to this audiobook. And I'm sure it is a lovely piece of literature. Okay. But at the time, I was having an internal battle,
right,
with myself, because a lot of what was being said in this audiobook rang true. And I didn't want to admit that. Mm-hmm. And I felt like, you know what the fuck are you doing? You're opening the door now. Like, you're doing Dry January and now you're listening to this audiobook and you did this to yourself. Like, you're causing a problem for your alcoholic self now.
Right.
There's no going back. You are listening to an audiobook about sobriety.
Mm-hmm. On a stationary bike.
On a stationary bike. Hungover as shit, you know, like sweating it out and just
checking your Fitbit, like, oh fuck.
Just angry at myself for even trying this bullshit. Mm-hmm. Angry because now that I told the hubs I was doing Dry January, mm-hmm, now I can't go back on it. I know. Because this shit was making sense and then I didn't want to admit it. You know, just really battling myself and just feeling really bitter about it and literally like counting the days down to, mm-hmm, February 1st.
And then was it the subsequent August that you ended up quitting, or was this like many moons ago? Oh yeah, you said before COVID.
I think it was two or three Januaries prior to COVID. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's similar to me.
Prior to sobriety.
Like landing the plane, like that, when you open up the thought process internally, where I'd be like, okay, right, this isn't good for me. I need to take time off. I'm going to low key listen to this. I'm going to low key try that. Right. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm going to count my drinks. I'm going to, you know, fucking all of this stuff. I can have three drinks tonight. Ugh.
Yeah. The math.
Yeah. Just exhausting. Mm-hmm. But when you do it for yourself, when you open up that door for yourself, when it's not ultimatum driven, mm-hmm, there is no turning back. At that point, I think it's just a matter of when, not if.
Correct.
And so for a lot of people listening, you're probably like, fuck.
Yeah. Fuck. I get what they're saying. God damn it.
God damn it. And you're like shutting off the episode. Oh, motherfucker. Well, it's too late. You've already been gone. You know, if you're here. If you're here, you're already landing the plane. Mm-hmm. So how turbulent do you want the landing? Mm-hmm. And how you want the landing to look in terms of support and what you tell people and what you say and, you know, who knows, all of those things you own. You don't owe people shit.
Right.
In that department. But the plane is landing. So put on that oxygen mask.
Right.
Make a plan.
It's so true. Yeah. I don't remember much after. I remember getting through that Dry January. And I remember telling someone, a girl at work asked me to go out for drinks after work once, mm-hmm, during January. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I can't do in Dry January. And I'm shocked that I said no in that moment, that I stuck with it. But I'm a stubborn motherfucker. Okay. Right. So once I say, you know, I'm going to accomplish something, for the most part, I at least get through the bare minimum of what the expectations are of that thing. So,
well, that was the first time I had set a number goal, right? Mm-hmm. Because people ask a lot about counting days. There's different philosophies, all of that. I don't really care what you do, but I don't do well waking up every morning. And this is contrary, because people are like, one day at a time. And yes, it is one day, one experience at a time, one moment at a time. I have to work myself through different moments of my sobriety. Yes. However, setting that 31-day goal really decreased, and I said this earlier, decreased the internal negotiation that inherently took place every single fucking day. It took up all of my time, talent, energy, effort, mental equity, emotional equity. Am I going to drink or not? Am I going to drink or not? So kind of like you, stubborn, like, yeah, I could bear down and just get through it. But I had, you know, my mental health was so fucked at that point that I chose me. I chose me. And I was sad and I would cry and I was embarrassed and it was just hermit, didn't go out. But I didn't care. I was like, I'm going to do whatever it takes right now, this time. And then the more days I got, the more I was like, I don't think I can go back. I don't want to start over.
Yeah.
I haven't had a month sober since before I started drinking.
Right.
You know,
yeah, how weird is that?
That's fucked up. That's in like 20 years, like this is the longest I've gone in like 20 years.
Right.
And that just, my mind was just like, steaming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But crazy. Alcohol is not only, you know, accepted, but it's expected. And those are the two big obstacles. But it's also great for Dry January folks because you can get a head start without having to spill the tea. Right. And you can really take stock of what you're doing and how you feel. In contrast, but I didn't feel good after that month. I felt like shit.
Yeah, of course.
Like it wasn't like February came and I'm like, oh, everything's fine.
I feel so good.
Yeah. I'm going to go run a fucking 5K.
Like, I'm just fixed.
Yeah, I'm fixed. It wasn't like that. It was just like, I felt one like millimeter of clarity. And I'm like, this is interesting. And then it was almost like I became the not drinking became the new intoxication, like the new obsession, like how far can I get? What can I accomplish? And that can be transference and you can fucking finger wag at me all you want, but I'm not drunk. Right. So I'm doing shit and I'm moving, but Dry January doesn't have to end in Dry January. And I don't think people need to have like a, like anytime I would set a date to like stop drinking, I would fail. And it was like the one time
in the future, you mean?
Like, yeah. Like, okay, after this, you know,
People do that all the time. After this,
I just got to get through this. I just got to get through these three weddings, two bridal showers, Christmas, Thanksgiving, New Year's, Easter. Like, you do that, you just roll out the calendar.
Yeah, you keep putting
a literal excuse every.
It's just delaying it.
Yeah. So the one time the universe is just like, no. And they just like shook me. And then I was like, okay.
Same. Yeah, exactly. I have a note in my phone that I leave there. I did a dictation into my phone while I was leaving the liquor store on New Year's Eve, that the night before that Dry January. And it's really, it really hurts to read it. And I intentionally, it's one of my tools and I intentionally leave it in there. I have that. And then I also have a breakup letter that I wrote, which was suggested by an addictions counselor that I went to for a while. Which I was like, that's fucking stupid. Like, I'm not doing that. And then like a week later, I'm like, sitting at my laptop, like, you motherfucker, you failed me.
I trusted you.
but this,
that's so interesting that you did a note before that Dry January, because that's further evidence that your brain was already like, you released the Kraken, like you knew and sorry, listeners, you're still caught now twice.
Twice. You know what the most fucked up part of all that is? The note, the dictation note I have in my phone. I'm saying to myself, I just purchased what I hope is my last bottle of vodka of my entire life. So there was a piece of me that was, when I was feeling excited about drinking, like I was excited about the fact that I knew I was drinking that night. Mm-hmm. So I was riding off of that high. It sounds so fucking backwards, but I was riding off of this high mm-hmm. with a bottle of booze in my minivan, right? Like, shotgun in all my minivan,
buckled
the
in.
Brown bag. Yeah. And, so part of that is, okay, yay, I have a bottle of vodka in my possession and now I'm going to like have at it. And you know what? I can do this. Like, this can be the last one, because it's this weird high that you're on.
Yes.
It doesn't necessarily like you. I literally would feel empowered or.
I know exactly how you feel, because I would always, all of my drunk recon, all of those moments of like, I can quit, I can do this, is when I either had just started drinking like a little buzz, or I had it in my possession. So I didn't have that fear of loss.
Right.
Like I felt like it was, I had the keys to the kingdom.
Right. And you could be free with yourself. Like, okay, I got my little buddy here, so I'm just going to let it all out, because I have this little promise of getting this nice little drunk on tonight, but I'm going to be honest with myself. And so this note is, I mean, it is intense. It's scary and sad, and the words I use, I mean, I wish I had an audio of it. I wish I had taken a voice memo mm-hmm. instead of dictation, but beggars can't be choosers in moments of fucking desperation, but.
You're in the liquor store. Can everyone quiet down? I'm recording a memo to myself. Roger, shut the fuck up.
That's hilarious.
So, oh my god. Like, I was like, oh my god, Jenna's broken.
This girl's really suffering. Oh my god. But it's such a fucked up game we play with mm-hmm. ourselves. Like, it's such a weird back and forth of like, you can and you can't, you will and you won't, and like I'm strong and I'm fucking weak, and mm-hmm. like, oh my God, the energy, like you were just talking about a little bit ago, the amount of brain energy mm-hmm. and emotional like exhaustion that goes into considering all that stuff. Like, that alone should be enough to make you want to get sober. It's not always, but
not.
Like, I can't believe that note that's in my, like when I reread it, which I don't do often, because it makes me feel really sad. It makes me mm-hmm. feel really sad about that moment for myself. But
look where you are now.
Yes,
part of the, exactly. And that's all part of the process. And so
it absolutely is.
When we talk about recovery not being linear, I think that's a great example.
Right. Right. It's not like you haven't, you know, you've been drinking for 20, 30 years, you have a horrible experience, and then you realize you need to get sober. You know, that's not how it works. People expect that to be their story, and it's not.
Yeah. And I think the way that I tell my story, in that, yes, there was a last day that I drank, right? And everyone who's sober has a last day they drank. Mine just happens to be on New Year's Day after a weird moment. But for years before that, I can't tell you how many times I'm like, okay, this is the last bottle of vodka I'm buying. Mm-hmm. And then I would like, did you ever do this? Or is this just me? I would like check in my freezer and I would like hold it up to see like how much was left.
How much more you had.
Like, and I would like, okay, well, this, mm-hmm. I'll carry the one. Okay.
Ration it out.
Yeah. I got to ration it out. And then you're just like, okay, I'll just have two shots. Right. And then mm-hmm. after the two shots, you're like, fuck it. I'll just have it. Just finish it.
Always fuck it. Always fuck it. I'll finish it. And then I'll find a way to get another bottle.
Yes.
You know, or tomorrow morning when I, you know, whatever. It's this awful, mm-hmm. awful cycle. Yes. You always end up saying, fuck it. If you're looking at a bottle and rationing out your shots, you will be saying fuck it. Like,
if you're rationing alcohol, you're in trouble.
All right. What is this? Number three?
Three. Yeah. Because I would open the freezer real quick and it would be my Trader Joe's vodka glass. And I would have to like scrape like this, like a cold car window to fucking see, hold it up to the light and be like, oh, I'm going to guesstimate. Mm-hmm. You know, that's two drunk texts and and then I'm sorry, that's not enough. So,
and a frozen pizza.
Yeah, and a frozen two drunk texts, I'm sorry, and then a frozen pizza. And then make up some bullshit reason. We need milk.
Exactly.
We don't need milk. We do.
We need something. Really,
I'm really into milk right now.
Oh, that is so funny. I know the lies we tell ourselves. It's so weird. It's like truths and lies side by side. Like I had so many truths in my face. I was saying to myself with vodka in my passenger seat, you know, I had the truths. I had them right there. I wanted that to be it in that moment. I wanted that to be it, but did I, you know, absolutely not. Of course I didn't. Cause the next day I'm fucking miserable on a stationary bike, listening to a bullshit audiobook, like just like counting the days till February 1st.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. Crazy. The struggle is real.
Yes.
But I am living proof that you can flex a dry January into a sober run, you know?
I love that.
And it's a happy accident. It's a miracle. It's all of those things. It just is. It's just completely circumstantial that it was the first. There was no planning involved.
Right.
But it makes it really fucking easy to remember how long you've been sober. So if you're thinking about it, it's there's very little math required.
And but don't wait till 2024 now.
Yeah. Don't be like, oh shit, I'm 12 days. I'm 12 days in. I gotta wait. You know.
Daniel said.
But at least you'll know the month, right?
Yeah.
At least you'll know the month. But yeah, the dry January into just a dry
life,
you know, but not a boring life. It's just different. And I have said, and I will always continue to say, I have never woken up on this journey in the last 8+ years and been like, man, I wish I drank last night.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I've never fucking said that.
Nope. Never one time
was like, I wish I had had just one more drink last night. Mm-hmm.
Or man, I shouldn't have gotten sober. This blows. This is
bullshit.
You never hear anyone in sobriety say that. I've never once heard anyone say that.
No, I mean, early on in that first month, there were times when I'm like, this is bullshit. Right. Mm-hmm. And I was mostly frustrated that other people could do it and I couldn't.
Well, but yeah, that's different. I mean, kind of
like once you land into your sobriety, I haven't ever heard anyone being like, this is the worst choice ever.
Ever. Yeah.
Fuck this, you know?
Yeah.
But it takes a lot of intentional, daily, meaningful work, however that looks like to you. Mm-hmm. But what a great use of your energy. It's the biggest return on investment I've ever made.
Truth.
So.
Yay. Happy 2023.
That's right. Let's go.
Yeah, man.
All right. Let's do it. We'll catch you for episode 15 next week. All right. Bye. See you.